Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again into Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. With me as always...
Hello, boys. It's me, Ben Vanell, calling in from a different country. Can you guess what country I'm in?
Ooh. I could easily guess it because I know what country it is.
Wow. Yeah, but...
I'm trying to think, if I had to just guess without relying on the fact that I have the knowledge of actually knowing what it is,
yes. Sure.
What would I guess? If Ben had just left and not told us, where would you think he would have gone?
I would have guessed the United States of America because that's where he said earlier in the year that he was going to holiday to.
That's a good point. Yeah, I'd guess the same as Adam.
Your exact words, Ben, if I remember, were, "I'm summering in Los Angeles."
Yes, I did. I did say that. That's true. Obviously, when it gets to summer in Australia, I like to leave and go to the colder hemisphere. I've actually gone to not the United States of America, quite the opposite. I've gone to the not United States. No, I've gone to Vietnam. All right.
Vietnam.
Yeah, you've really picked a side here, and that's admirable.
Yep.
But can I just ask, are me and Adam correct? Had you not have gone to Vietnam, would our guess have been correct? Would you have been in America?
No, because I almost went to Japan instead, and then as I was about to buy tickets for Japan, I was like, why don't I go somewhere new? And so I went to Vietnam. The States is just a whole big thing. I feel like I've got to go. I'm only here for a week. If I was going to the States, I'd have to go for a month because the flight time is just so long.
You can't just nip over. It's brutal.
Well, and there's so much shit to do there that you'd feel silly going over and being like, "Yeah, I spent a week in Dallas."
Then
coming back. Like Dallas was nice, but yeah.
I also love this insight into the operations of Ben Vanell, where he's just there. He's just got the travel agent website open. He's got Qantas.com open.
Yes.
He's about to hit go on Japan, and then all of a sudden he just takes a wild veer off into Vietnam.
Just
I love it.
Spinning a globe.
Spinning a globe about 3 centimeters and then putting my finger down again.
Yeah.
Right.
You know how some
airline websites, when you book, like Jetstar does this, you pick the dates, but then it'll show you the dates either side and what they cost.
Oh, and it'll be like, it'd be a bit cheaper if you went on the Monday.
Yeah, it'll be like $100 cheaper. Yeah, I think Qantas does that as well.
Yeah.
They should do that, but with other countries. That would be cool if it's just like that same date. If you go to Vietnam, it's $200 cheaper. I've had points where I've booked trips where I probably would have gone, yeah, you know what, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Why don't instead of Vietnam, I could go to Adelaide.
Right. And I think it has to be the flight time is kind of roughly the same.
Right.
It's like, you know what, you're on a plane for about 10 hours. You could be in this, like, it's still Asian. There's still going to be kind of the vague flavor that you're
go,
after.
Like, to Vietnam, and it suggests, like, why don't you go to France? You're going to be like, no, that's nothing like what I'm
It's totally
for.
Out of my budget. Yeah. No, I think we might have invented something here.
Yeah.
Probably not. We always think we've invented something and then it turns out we haven't. Mm. Anyway, welcome to the first podcast about video games.
Yes.
But how's it going, Ben? You're having a good time? Is there any Vietnam insight that you'd like to give to the listeners?
It's a beautiful country. The city that I've spent the most time in so far, Ho Chi Minh City, is a very busy city. So if you like busy cities, it's a great place to visit. If you want to relax, maybe go somewhere else. That's my tip. It's very hot here. Like, ironically enough, I am in the Northern Hemisphere in winter, or almost winter, and it is boiling hot. It's been really nice. But I don't know. Yeah, if you've ever wanted to go to Vietnam, it's sort of exactly what you think it is. It's got amazing food. It's all very cheap.
Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, if I was like 10 years younger and like a little bit dumber so I wasn't scared of it, I would love to ride a motorbike across Southeast Asia.
Oh, yeah, oh, that would be cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that only stupid people ride motorbikes, but kind of.
Not even so much dumb, just more like... Just more reckless and like, yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Relaxed, because like you can ride a motorbike, you know, every day and never be in an accident or anything like that. But also, if you get in one accident, you're dead.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that that's... Oh, what a relaxed person, rolling the dice every day. Dude, that guy is chill. That guy playing Russian roulette, he's a real...
I mean, you'd have to be, right? You'd have to be relaxed to just be like, yeah, it's, well, I'll take it as it comes. I have ridden on a motorbike here. I've been using the Grab app. It's like Uber, but you get cars and motorbikes. So I've got a few motorbike rides.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, like you're just hanging off the back.
Yeah, I'm hanging on the back. It's scary.
Being dragged along like cans at a wedding.
I did a bit of motorbike riding in Copenhagen earlier this year and loved it and was always been too scared to do it, but got talked into it because on the thinking that the roads are so quiet, which is true.
Right.
And it did give me that thing that you were saying, Adam, of like, oh man, I would love to just like do like this across like a vast distance.
Yeah.
But you know what? Like I only just found this out today. Copenhagen is like the second highest like road fatalities of anywhere in the world.
Oh my God.
So in my head I'm like, yeah, this is the place to do it. It's nice and safe and controlled. Would be too scared to do it somewhere like Vietnam. It's like, hey, I've tackled it in, you know, the most probably like the second most dangerous place that you can do it.
Yeah, so my luck's never gonna run out.
I think Vietnam might be number one. I think like a lot of my research before I came here, was like, hey, this is like the highest per capita for like motor fatalities in the world. So just, I didn't tell my parents that, obviously. Didn't want to tell anyone that before I went.
Was this the research that you did on pussytraveler.org.au?
Yes, Tommy. Yes, it was.
Got him.
Yes.
Coward flights.
Can you tell us, can you give us a bit of insight into what is the vibe like on the ground there in Vietnam about the redesign of the Sonic the Hedgehog movie trailer?
Oh, they're very anti it. They're against it. They liked it how it was. They liked how weird and idiosyncratic it was. Yeah, yeah. I think I found my people. I mean, so you guys watched the trailer. I watched it. I've been over here, you know, seeing the sights and in the evenings just watching a bunch of video game and movie trailers. What do you think of the redesign?
It's fine. It makes... Is it Ben Schwartz? That's his name, right?
Yep.
Makes him being the voice stand out as being a poor choice more to me.
I think the opposite.
Fixing the visuals has fucked the audio for me.
Interesting. I think the complete opposite way.
Right.
I think it actually, I don't know. It's weird because so for anyone who's maybe new to the podcast or, you know, not quite caught up on this whole saga of this film, it was meant to be out this weekend or last weekend.
That sounds right.
Someone posted that in our Facebook group. Huge backlash to the character when they first showed the trailer earlier this year.
Fucking hell. So they've only really done like three, because it's coming out February 14th.
Yeah.
They've had about 3 extra months.
Yeah.
That means to do this work. That's fucking insane.
Mm.
Yeah. I don't really know how all that stuff works. Is it as simple as just like overhauling the model and then I don't know. But
the animation is different.
Yeah, that's true.
Even
that's very
the bits
true,
that are from the first trailer that are shown again in the second trailer.
He moves differently.
Maybe the conspiracy people were right.
So that's a thing that someone posted in our group that they think that, this has all been orchestrated. This was always the plan.
Yeah, right. I've had people say that as well. My brother's a truther.
Oh, really?
That's right.
I kind of love it if that's true.
Is there any way to know? We need to sneak in there. We need to get in and out fast. Who could we use?
Mario. I remember the first time, when this happened, when the announcement happened, I wanted to be a truther. I wanted to believe the conspiracy. And I think we sort of talked it through. And I think, Knox, you were making the probably correct point that, like, it would take much longer. It would take so long to do this. It would take so much money. Like, if it's going to fit into this time frame, then, you know, like it's it's people's lives, it's people's careers, it's their emotional states. Like, they don't just flippantly do this.
Mm.
But maybe they have, because it is such a short amount of time to have been able to do what they appear to have done.
Yeah. Well, you know, it would be so funny if we then go and see the movie and the answer is it took them such a short amount of time because Sonic's barely in it. if Sonic's in the movie for a combined total of like 6 minutes, it's like
most of it's like people reacting like they're at the tennis, looking back and forth really fast, going like, my God, he's quick.
Yes. Or like so, just bloopers between James Marsden and Jim Carrey.
And yeah, right. long credit sequence. Yes. Jim Carrey looking at the camera going like, blah, 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 blah.
So last night they released an updated trailer, and I think that I've gone from thinking that this looked so cringeworthy, the design looked awful, I thought the first trailer was awful, it looked so lame and shitty. I think that this new trailer actually looks legitimately quite good as a trailer, because they've not only, they haven't just like plugged the new model in and kind of like just, you know, put the same trailer out with a different model in it. They seem to have like completely rethunk the whole kind of vibe and tone and feel of the trailer.
Yeah, because it starts with this sort of like little intro setup of like, hey, I'm Sonic and I live on this planet. And it's a completely different trailer. It's providing a bit of context for maybe for kids who don't know who Sonic is.
Yeah, and it's kind of pitching it a bit more as like a buddy road movie kind of thing as well, which it seems a bit more interesting and cool to me. I don't know, like it definitely, I think he looks a million times better.
It does look better.
The model looks...
Sonic looks better, yes.
Yeah, it looks better, looks cuter, more animated, definitely in line with what I think people had in their head when they pictured. It's not like, it's not shocking, it's just like... Yeah, this is what you'd think he should look like in a real world CGI context, I don't know. Beyond that, I think that for some reason him as a weird lifelike looking hedgehog with Ben Schwartz dialogue coming out was really grating to me, and with this redesign, it just reads a little better. He just seems like, oh, he's just a fun little guy hanging out.
They would have been fine if they hadn't have done this though, because that, I don't remember if we made this comparison, but those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies that Michael Bay did, they looked fucked in that, but everyone was still just at some point like, oh, I guess this is what the turtles look like now.
Turtles have had a lot of different iterations though, a lot of wildly different iterations,
sure, but not that wild.
Yeah, but also if you compare them, like their first film appearance is like these really grotesque looking puppets.
The suits.
So I don't think there's anything you could really do with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that is like in any way. I don't know. I think this is just such a radical shift from what people think that Sonic should look like.
I think it was too slight of a shift was the problem, is that it looked enough like Sonic that you were like, ugh, it looked a little creepy.
Yeah.
But either way, I guess this is better. It seems... like, either movies aren't as hard to make as I thought if they could just turn it around this quick.
Yeah.
Or they have been cranking out this movie. Or they would have finished the movie in July, had a few months before the release window because they wanted it to come out at a certain time, and February's still fine. So, you know, maybe they've had like 9 extra months to work on it. Does that make sense?
They
maybe they'd have wrapped the movie up in July.
An extra contract for all their animators.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
I
see what you're saying.
I don't really... This made me care less about this movie, though, because it looks like it's just... It looks like it's not its own thing or something now. It looks like it's just some Sonic thing, and it makes me less interested in it for some reason.
I do see what you're saying. And again, a few people said this in the Facebook, that it's kind of like ruined it for them in the sense that... Because it's weird to remember, like, as you're watching this trailer, it seems so tonally different that it feels as if they've redone the entire movie... But they haven't. And so it's like I keep reminding myself, all those bits that you thought looked dog shit in the original trailer, they're still in there.
And this is just trailers. There's always like a third trailer where you're like, oh, actually, maybe.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like that happened with like Joker, and it's happened with fucking Suicide Squad and like a whole bunch of movies that turn out to be different to how you thought the trailers made them look.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, Suicide Squad actually had like so much content in it that was cut from the movie. And I assume that there's, with a movie like Sonic, there's probably content that they made just for the trailer. I wouldn't be shocked if, we don't even see some of that stuff from that original trailer in the movie.
Yeah, but in the movie, is he going, hey, I'm Sonic.
Well, I completely agree with you, Nox. This has now become a movie that I have almost no interest in. Like, it just looks like a fine kids movie. It's sort of, polished off those sharp edges, which were weird and pretty fucked and fun to talk about, but they were at least kind of unique. Now, I don't really care about this movie anymore.
It's like he'll look better in it, but the film will still be, like, pretty shitty and boring.
Yeah. It looked like someone was making their own movie before, and now it looks like this movie has been generated.
Well, that's like what we said at the time about the redesign, is just like, it's just such a misguided thing to think that you can, like, completely change the fortunes of this movie by just redesigning one of the character models. It's like, it's not like this is going to go from being just a box office bomb to just, like, becoming one of the most beloved family movies of all time. Like, it really makes no difference what form it had come out in.
If anything, I think this is possibly going to have a negative effect, because now those people who were angry about Sonic the first time are going to be like, oh, we did it, Reddit. We fixed it.
Yeah.
This company wins the internet. And then we'll forget about it by the time February rolls around.
I mean, that's the thing, is like, what's the next thing that's going to come out that'll have, like, you know, a modern interpretation of a beloved cultural character that now the precedent has been set of, like,
change Joe Pesci in The Irishman.
He's actually older than that. What are you doing?
Right.
Yeah. Make him look angrier.
You'd have to be like any other studio that's got, like, something like a live action Woody Woodpecker movie in the works or whatever.
Yeah.
You'd be watching all this pan out just going like, ah, fuck. Like, we're going to get our feet held to the fire on this. All right, make him look like, you know, our dream of having a real-life looking bird in there. People are going to lose their minds.
It's funny as well that, like, when this change was made, they got, I think it's a guy who was the art director for Sonic Mania and is, like, the lead director on the Sonic Mania sequel.
Oh, right.
Was the guy who did the movie Sonic.
Yeah, right.
Or was, like, the lead on redesigned movie Sonic. So when they were told they fucked up, they went to someone who knew Sonic after that rather than while the movie was being produced.
Well, it's also funny to have to, like, bring a person in. It's like, just look at the fucking box of the game.
It's
just right there.
Yeah.
You don't need an actual human to come in and be like, oh, well, actually, the rich legacy of this character.
Yeah, it didn't matter. And I kind of liked the fact that it looked like the people making the movie were like, nah, fuck Sonic. We know roughly what he is, but let's just make a movie.
Right. Well, yeah. Hey, you know what? Happy for this saga to have happened, because it's plenty of fuel for this podcast.
Mm. Sure.
I'm cancelling the big Filthy Casuals group screening session, though. I don't think that's interesting to me anymore. Sorry.
I didn't know we were doing that.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is, like, I think the three of us still have to get together Valentine's Day 2020 and hit the cinema.
Maybe the 15th of February. Yeah,
Hey Ben, you want to, if we're both still single Valentine's Day 2020, you want to hook up and go see Sonic?
Yeah, and then afterwards we can kill ourselves together. It sounds beautiful.
It's a date. Oh, that's... So we go even though we're still planning to kill ourselves afterwards. So it's like we're not even going to get to talk about it on the pod.
Yeah.
It's just our final act on this earth is to see this shitty movie together.
I think buying two tickets to that on Valentine's Day for you two is the equivalent of a suicide night.
Yeah, yeah.
It sends people will accept that. The cops will be like, don't even look into it. We get it.
Sends a pretty clear message to the guy working the box office that day.
Yeah.
Oh, what our plans are for the rest
of the
night.
We're going to have to mop out the theatre after this one, boys, and not for the usual reason.
God, do you think couples will be going to see that on Valentine's Day? It's such a weird date for them to pick.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you throw kids at a kids movie on Valentine's Day. That's why it comes out that day. It's like a babysitter. So parents can go take the kid to a fucking movie.
Interesting.
Easy peasy.
I never thought of that. I kind of do want to go on that. There'd probably be a handful of furry couples in the mix.
I would imagine. Yeah.
Deep, costumed up, ready to go. Big Tails outfit with a flap in the front immediately after the screening.
Oh, boy.
So there's a bit of other news to get into. Google Stadia, the lineup of launch games has been announced. Launches in the US on the 19th. So just
in a weird, like, staggered fashion, though, right? Like, part of it kind of launches, but it's not the full thing with, like, the subscription service. It's not, you can't do it on a Chromecast, or maybe you can only do it on a Chromecast at the moment. You can't play it on everything yet.
It's all over the place.
Yeah. It's all over the place. You can't, there's no free one yet. So you have to do the subscription one now. The free tier launches in 2020.
Right, I've got it backwards.
It's $10, US $10 per month.
And that gets you access to these games or access to purchase these games?
Access to purchase them and then one free one added per month.
Okay.
And they're available to stream in 4K resolution.
And the free ones are like PlayStation Plus or whatever, where they choose which one it is. It's not like you get to elect.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then, because some of the people who bought, like, pre-ordered the Founders Edition and whatever, were told, oh, there's supply issues with the controllers, so you might not get this on the day, which is fucking wild.
Yeah, that's pretty gnarly.
And then, yeah, it just works with Chromecast, so none of the, like, play it on your phone while you're on the bus or whatever yet.
Yeah.
Right. This is a big... This is looking like a big butt bow.
This is a very soft launch.
Here are the 12 games that you'll be able to get on November
12? 12.
12 games.
Yeah.
12 games, and then I think that... But then they've also said there... What's the number? There'll be more than 40 titles coming in its first few months. But anyway, 12 on day one.
But these are all existing... Okay,
yeah, anyway. Here it is. Yeah. Red Dead Redemption 2, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Destiny 2, Just Dance 2020, Kine, Mortal Kombat 11... Thumper, Samurai Showdown, Guilt, Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Incredibly
underwhelming.
I get to play Guilt on Stadia.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but none of those games were released this year. They are all from a year plus ago.
Just Dance 2020.
Oh, yeah. I am wrong. That Wii game that is also on this. The final Wii game.
Yeah.
That is one of the least appealing things I've ever heard.
Big time. It's like there's nothing to even...
And this, like, only launches
not,
in...
Not, none of those are like... There's some fine games in there, but, like, yeah, for going in on a new thing, like...
Yeah.
Yeah, not even... I mean, what would have been something big in the last, like, few months that could have...
I guess Red Dead 2 is the closest because the PC release of that was recent.
Yeah.
Right.
But, like, I don't know, chuck that Jedi game on there that's coming out on Friday. Death Stranding's got a PC version coming out. Imagine if they could have finagled their way into that.
Get the Outer Worlds on there or something like that.
Control, there's been plenty of...
Yeah,
there's been plenty of, like, big, interesting multi-platform stuff, even just in the last few months, that being in there would have been a bit more like, oh, you know, I've got an Xbox, I hadn't gotten around to getting that yet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm interested in this service, this will be a good one to try it out on.
Control is one of those ones where it's got all the ray tracing stuff in it. It would benefit from having access to a really high-end machine.
Yeah.
So Guilt is the exclusive, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, okay. It's this. It looks sort of like a kiddish version of Inside. It's sort of like a 2D puzzle platformer thing.
Right.
I mean, Mortal Kombat 11, actually, right? That came out this
year. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah, true.
That's the most recent, maybe, other than Guilt. And whatever Kine is.
Going hard on the Tomb Raider franchise.
Oh,
on this
can't wait to play that 2013 360 Tomb Raider game.
Yeah.
I mean,
the thinking behind that, just all of those Tomb Raider games on the, what, like, of all the things to be packaging together on it, that seems strange.
They're all so similar as well. You might as well have just put the latest Tomb Raider game on there.
Yeah. They did. They've got all three. Oh, wait, just.
Just.
Missed the word just.
Yeah, just chuck. I mean, like, they've only put Assassin's Creed Odyssey. They could have chucked in Origins, but, like, yeah, just pick the good one of the recent ones.
Right.
Yeah. Weird, unappealing, and unavailable in Australia, possibly still.
Yeah, so maybe...
It's just US only.
If you're a US listener and you're going to get this, maybe, shoot us an email when you had a bit of time with it and let us know what you think.
Mm.
I should know more about this, but I'm just so uninterested that even just the 30 seconds that it would take me to research this during the day feels like a catastrophic waste of time. when is there any word on when we can get it here?
I don't think they've said yet.
No, right. I haven't seen anything. It's weird though, because it's like this. This is more of a service. Like, I guess you can judge something like Game Pass and judge it to be extremely good and really well implemented. But this is sort of something where it's like, yeah, in 2 years you'll look back and be like, oh, this was more convenient to have than to not have.
Right. This coming up just before a new console generation. If it can make a case for itself around the time those are coming out, then maybe there's a great reason to get this over one of them. If this is $80 or whatever for the controller, plus $10 a month, then that's so much cheaper than a console.
Totally.
But also, maybe then it becomes actually interesting. But at this point, I don't really understand
who this is for. But the fact that you're having to like buy the games too, like, if it was a subscription and you just get, I mean, you know, I could see someone thinking, oh, you know, I haven't played a few of these yet. It's worth this, whatever, $20 a month to have access to them. Cool, I'll roll the dice on this service and see how I go.
I mean,
but to have to subscribe to then still buy the games, it's like, why would anyone do that?
Well, you've got to do that with any online thing for the PlayStation or the Xbox or the Switch.
And
they've all got subscriptions.
Yeah, true, but these games aren't online games. Well, some of them are.
Yeah, some of them are.
I guess
that's what you want.
The maths is, how much does a new console cost? Because that is, you're right, Knox, like that's probably what we got to weigh this against. Our purchasing decision. A new console's between $800 and $900, probably. That's,
yeah, we were speculating the other week about what the what the next round will be.
So that's
up there.
And I think we all sort of said pushing a grand.
It's gotta be around that. So you're talking like 80 weeks of Stadia minus the controller, you know, the initial outlay.
It's right.
Plus, you're paying that $10 a month. If you have like Game Pass on the Xbox One, you're getting more games, but like you're paying that as well. And
sure.
Or if you have Xbox Live or PlayStation Plus.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah, PS Plus.
You're paying that money anyway. So you're basically, if this ends up being all the games are on here too, you're skipping the purchasing a console.
Yes, right. Exactly. That's what you're weighing up. As long as it works as well as a console does.
Right. And you also sacrifice having access to those games after you let that subscription lapse, I suppose.
Yes.
Maybe if you've bought them with the free version, that's not the case. But like the ownership of them, I would assume, becomes a little stranger. So, I don't think they necessarily, and maybe this is a fuck up, almost definitely this is a fuck up, but it seems like they don't necessarily intend for it to be that appealing just yet. They're launching it to get people on so they can iron it out before they properly go, Stadia is the option now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, for them, it's like, it's not like they have to like manufacture the hardware and everything like that. So I can sort of see the logic in them going, let's get a good year plus of this under our belts by the time the PS5 and the new Xbox are out. So that we potentially by then we have enough of a library where and people kind of know what it is, and maybe we've got a few more runs on the board, that we are enough of a serious contender against these new things that are launching with probably barely any games on them.
I've been thinking a lot lately about whether to get a new really good PC instead of a console this time around.
Oh,
wow.
I'm thinking about it. Maybe.
Ben, are you here? This is a bombshell.
I have to say, I've been thinking about it too.
Oh my God. Boys, you're going to shit your dacks when you hear this. I've also been thinking about
Holy shit.
Oh, Marone. Thomas.
All right, let's, well, fuck.
No, maybe. I was just kidding. No, I just want to fit in.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, you would fit in because like,
what would you do though? Would you have it just running straight? I know so little about how like the gaming PC works. Would you just run it straight into the TV? Is that how you'd be playing it?
Possibly. I'd probably have two outputs, one to TV and one to a monitor.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I never used to play mine through the TV. I used to just have it, you know, traditional on a desktop, play it in my bedroom, whatever. But obviously now it would be a media center as well. And fuck, like the amount of shit that I download that it's like, oh, this is a .mov file and it won't play on this TV.
Yeah.
I would be very tempted to just, make it my media center. And because it's there's so many games that I just cannot play. There are games coming out now that I'm like, well, fuck, I got to partition my MacBook into a Windows machine as well. So I've definitely already been thinking about it in that sense. And financially, it's a lot smarter, I think, when you dedicate, you know, a third of your life to video games, as we do.
Yes.
Instead of sleeping. But yeah. You get every Xbox exclusive going forward, because they've been doing that for a while already.
Yep.
So you've kind of bought yourself an Xbox there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't get the Sony exclusives, so at some point I would end up getting a PS5.
Right.
And
right.
Nintendo continues to be its own separate thing. So if they do some successor to the Switch within the next few years, which I assume they will, then you got to throw down for that too. So it's kind of buying a PC as a very good Xbox.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
So who knows? Maybe it isn't worth it. But the then you get the PC exclusives as well.
True.
And then anything that's like multi-platform, you get to play the crispiest version of it.
And my Steam library of 400 games or whatever it is, I get to play again on a PC. The only thing that is sort of holding me back, even now, like I've been thinking about it now, is internet. You know, like the internet is such a huge factor when buying a PC because, Steam, it's all downloaded. Multiplayer obviously relies on a stable connection, and my internet's just shit where I live, and I'm not getting the NBN for they say April to July next year, but I mean, they always push that shit back, so that's a huge factor for me as well.
You have to buy the ultimate gaming add-on, a new house.
Well, yeah, even even you saying you've got this like Steam library of 400 games, a good percentage of which I imagine is untouched. That says it all. It's like, you go, oh man, then I'd have access to all this stuff that I don't have access to now. It's like, even within the stuff that I do have access to now, I've got so many things that I've not put enough time into.
You're stuck in the world of the real Tommy. Come over here to money-wasting fantasy land.
Yes!
Oh, yeah. Ben, I hate to tell you what Adam's pointing at when he says that.
Oh, no. What have I agreed to?
It's pretty appealing, and going in at the beginning of a generation would be the time to do it, surely, right?
Why do you think that doesn't
make a difference, right?
Like, because you're doing it instead of investing in one of those consoles for a while.
But you're saying you probably will end up investing in them anyway.
But you can get a cheap PS5 a couple years down the road, steal it off the back of the truck.
Right. You've waited till all of the new games have come out for that console.
Right.
Yeah, you've got when like God of War 2 pretty much comes out, then I'll jump in.
I should also say, I can't remember what the context of the last time we were talking about building gaming PCs was. I think I must have said something along the lines of like, it's kind of interested me.
Mm.
I can't remember if it was just me that said that or if you both said that as well. But anyway, my point is I then got several like DMs across social media platforms from these from these guys going, hey man, if you're serious about building a gaming PC, let me know. I can hook you up. So I know that now all of our inboxes are going to be absolutely flooded by these
men. Oh, please.
It's like
please
when you say the Illuminati code word that people start going like, oh, you know as well. But yeah, no, totally. Like I've been doing a little bit of research into it, like just for fun.
Yep.
Mm.
And it's so much fun to read all those numbers.
Oh, yeah.
To try and comprehend them.
What's the classic like internet rule? Like say instead of asking for help with something, say something that you know is wrong and you'll get corrected a million times. So I'm definitely
It's not possible to send naked photos on the internet.
I'm using a GeForce 700 and an AMD. I don't know. I don't know enough about PCs anymore to say the wrong thing, but I'm definitely thinking about it, and I think it makes the most sense as well.
Yeah. And it's... the only problem then is that with PC stuff as well, you do get these dodgy ports from time to time.
Yeah.
That still happens. And people still say, oh, the PC version of X came out and it is broken.
Mm-hmm.
So...
That's true. I guess I've got a PS4 and I've got an Xbox One X or One S. So I'm not throwing those away. I'm still going to be able to access games from around this generation for a while. Yeah. And
like
you said, I probably go in on a PlayStation 5 for the exclusives. So, yeah.
And we'll probably get that year at least overlap where a lot of stuff comes out on both.
Yeah.
Again, I'd imagine. So
I'd say for the sake of the pod, me personally, I'm probably going to end up going day one PS5.
Sure.
Also, just going in on something day one is exciting.
Yeah.
I probably won't feel the need to do, and it's also, it would be so wild financially to do it for both the PS5 and the new Xbox. I'll probably, and I'll let the Xbox take a back seat for a bit. But yeah. PS5, I feel pretty confident in saying that I think I'll go day one on that.
Sure.
But who knows, maybe not.
I think I'll probably get a gaming PC within the next month, and then I'll probably get a console.
Within the next month?
I thought we were talking like a year away. Holy shit.
Wow.
This is like talking to your friend being like, I think I want kids one day. Anyway, I'm giving birth.
You better cut this holiday short. Get home and get planning.
I've been thinking about it for a while, and I just said the next month because I have more time off work, so I'll be able to do it. Otherwise, if it doesn't happen in December, it's not. Probably not happening until fucking July or something.
I saw the idea of like picturing Ben in Ho Chi Minh almost gets taken out by a guy on a motorbike, and there's just something goes off in his head where he's like, you know what? Life's too short. It's too short to not have a gaming PC within the next month.
I'm going to get a 2080 Ti. That's what I've been looking. That's the top of the top at the moment.
2080 or
1080? In terms of video cards, 2080.
Fuck.
But you have a lot of work to do in this next month, Ben.
I do. I clearly do. I got to go to Oz PC Game Shop and buy the latest gaming build.
If you bought a gaming PC within the next month, you would be able to play the PC port when it comes out of Death Stranding.
Well, I've already played it on PlayStation 4. Should we talk about it?
Oh, okay then. I guess we won't put it off until February.
If you insist.
I've played about 10 hours of Death Stranding at this point.
Yes, I got in 3 hours and 56 minutes before I left.
Okay, there was the flight was delayed, luckily.
Yes. I set it up in the airport, in the lounge.
Tommy?
You just go into the duty-free shop and just set up one of their PlayStations and get gaming. Yeah, I've probably played the least, maybe two and a bit hours. I'm at the start of chapter two. I'm very early on.
Yeah,
out working on an art exhibition at the moment, yeah. Which for anyone in Melbourne opens on November the 20th. Come check that out. But yeah.
Let me make a prediction. You both hate it at this point then. Because it took maybe not hate, but it is slow to get going, this game.
Should I start? Because I've probably got I will have the least
to
say.
Yeah, you do the first 2 hours. Ben, you add in another two, and then I'll bring the last six home.
Right.
So yeah, I'm in the last week of working on this show. I've had kind of two nights to sort of sit down and put a little bit of time into it for the purposes of this pod. So far, I really I really love the tone. It's very cinematic. All I've really done so far is watch cutscenes and do a bit of walking around.
You've got it.
Yeah, totally. It's a Kojima game. For the frame of mind that I'm in at the moment, I kind of did find myself going, you know what? I really wish this was just a movie. You know what I mean? I would love to be here with that controller in hand, just like put this on for 2 hours and just kind of like veg out after a busy, stressful day and just not be thinking instead of like controller in hand going, you know, wondering, when am I going to be doing something? And the bits where I actually have been playing, I'm feeling a bit like I don't really know if I get it. I'm certainly not, based on the kind of pre-release like reviews and stuff, I'm certainly not finding it as objectionable as I thought or feared that I may have based on what I'd read in the reviews. But I also, you know, I've in terms of actual gameplay, I've done barely anything.
Right.
But I love the feel and the tone and the, you know, the whole atmosphere of it. I'm hard in on that. I'm loving all of that. But yeah, that's kind of, the whole mechanics of it are bizarre. But
and you have seen 1/50th of what it'll bring in as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It is a very, very slow. Stretched out, maybe poorly paced beginning. Which it's a valid criticism to call that a turnoff, but I don't think it is the whole game yet. So
yeah, not even necessarily that it's a turnoff. It was more just like that's kind of just what in that moment I was sitting down to play it for this game. And sometimes with this podcast, you know, you're sitting down to do something in completely the wrong frame of mind.
Sure,
you know, gaming's meant to be like fun and switching off. I definitely felt like the pressure of like, this is such a big game, I've got to have at least turned it on and do a bit of it, like just to kind of vaguely know what I'm talking about. So I'm already going into it with kind of like the wrong mentality, I would think. I definitely wasn't like not into how cinematic it was. It was more just like, come on, I want to like play a bit of it to talk about on the pod.
Yeah.
You know, even though like the cinematic stuff of it, I was just loving. And like, I kind of was just like, you know what, if I was just watching a movie right now, I'd be fucking loving this. Like, this would be a big time, almost favorite movie of mine. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So that's kind of really all I can offer.
Well, Ben.
Yes.
An hour and 56 minutes later. What do you think?
Smash cut two.
It doesn't feel at this point. So I played, yeah, I basically had, you'd think that I me about to leave for an overseas trip, I'd be in the same frame of mind as Tommy, but I wasn't really. I sort of had packed the night before knowing that I was getting the game on a Friday, went home from work and was like, sweet, I'm going to settle in this evening and play this game, and was very, you know, ready for it. The more, the closer we got to the release, the more I thought I was going to like it. A lot of the descriptions were like, oh, this sounds like shit that I already like. Mm-hmm. And at the point that I got to, which is, yeah, about 4 hours in, I'd already forgotten how, I guess, cutscene heavy that start was. Obviously, everything that you do
right.
that isn't just walking around, there's a transitional cutscene, there's a little animation or whatever, and there's there's a bunch of those, but that's not, you know, really what I'm talking about. The story stuff, it sort of died down. I'm at, I think, the second way station you get to in your trek, you know, across the place. Yeah. That is, I guess we're not spoiling the premise. But yeah, you start to sort of go on a big journey. And so I'm, I think, two sort of way stations into that. I've done a bunch of, yeah, missions, I guess. I've dodged some enemies. I've done a lot of stealth stuff. I've done some building. So I think I've gotten into the sort of meat of the game. I know that gets much more complicated in terms of like equipment and interaction with other players, because obviously that asynchronous multiplayer is a huge factor in this game. But yeah, my current impression of this game is that I actually like the walking around stuff. It is the story stuff that I hate. Like, if this was a movie, this would be a 0 out of 5 stars for me. I think the writing is so childish and juvenile and so like superficial. It's the weakest sci-fi shit I've seen in a long time. It's like there's no emotion to it. I know a lot of the stuff we talked about before the game's release was about how it looked like a Terrence Malick film. It looked like this drawn out, slow paced work of art, but those sort of movies or stories or books, like I've been reading a bunch lately as well, they have emotional weight to them. They have like enough context, they have enough like real stuff in them to make you care, but this is all so like silly sci-fi bullshit in my experience, in my opinion of it, that I just don't care about it.
Sure. Interesting. I could see that happening as well, because the reason I focus so much on the amount of time played is because this game is bloated. It is too much, and it is so deliberately pacing itself at a crawl, at least for, you know, as far as I've seen as well, that it is to the detriment of its accessibility as a you know, piece of work, which that stuff that you're talking about, and I agree that it is a bit fucking silly. I'm hoping, my Hideo Kojima apologist hope, is that it sort of pays off if you sink into it,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, the more, the further it's gotten, and the world building stuff is done mainly through just text. It's just these emails that you get at some point. You get these like interview files that are just describing this weird world. Mm-hmm. And that is such a lame way of putting across what is kind of like an interesting world that ends up becoming.
Yep.
And these characters, are pretty weird and like almost melodrama, but like without much substance to it. It's just
I think the key comparison for me, and it's like, I don't hate to just make a Japanese comparison because he's Japanese, but it reminds me of some anime that I've seen, where it's very overwrought and overblown and very crazy, complex or convoluted sort of science fiction ideas, with characters who don't seem to have a lot of depth to them. In bad anime, they don't have any depth to them, and in good anime, obviously, it's revealed over time that they do. So I can't, obviously, I can't make that judgment call yet, but that's sort of what it's reminding me of at this point.
But that you guys is not, because I went in thinking like, oh, it's Kojima, this is going to be like stupid as hell, and, you know, whatever, just go along for the ride, he's doing his thing. Were you guys not like, were you not approaching it with that kind of view, or does it, you know, is it doing this poorly in spite of you going in with that view?
I went in with that view and I'm enjoying it. As much as I say that it's like that is a flaw, I have really enjoyed every bit of it that I've played yet, as slow and as stupid as it is, and all I want to do is keep playing it.
Right.
Because there's something about it that is so, like, it's like looking into a well.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and you know there's something down the bottom, or you think there is. And it's a really well-built well. It is an incredibly nicely made well. And you're glaring down into the bottom. And even if you're like, why am I doing this on some level? On another level, there's just like an instinct in the back of my head that's like, keep looking.
I know what you mean. I mean, I can't shake the thought that, like, and again, I know this is like such a mild take from someone who's played probably around less than 90 minutes of it, I'd say.
Right.
That, you know, for a couple of years now, it's been speculation of, you know, what is this game going to end up being?
Right.
Like, what are you actually doing in this game? And then the answer to me seems to be, outside of cutscenes, not much.
Well, it depends. Because
it's a balance simulator.
But kind of. It's in the style of like those kind of European truck simulator things and all the, those things. Other people have made those comparisons where there's something really relaxing and engaging about if you throw yourself into, well, I'm this delivery guy, I got to go between here and here, and you get more and more shit layered on as you keep going, where it becomes like, now I've got a vehicle, now I've got this and that, that it alters how you're doing these basic things of the game, where it isn't like a walking simulator.
But that's I mean, that to go like your thing of the word, like, you can't stop kind of like just fascinated by it.
Yeah. And the more you keep looking, the more shit you realize is on the bricks. And then you look and you're like, oh, what the fuck? That brick has Die Hardman written on it.
Right.
That's crazy.
But it's like, for all the, like, you know, cutscenes and everything that we'd seen beforehand that hinted at this, like, incredibly complex and, you know, very complicated world and everything, the actual minute to minute when you're playing the game, the bare essentials of it are quite simplistic.
Yeah.
You're just going from one place to another, just dropping a thing off. And
totally.
Core thing is just like trying to keep yourself balance. It's like,
you are only doing one simple thing at a time, and it seems at this point every story beat and every character is one simple thing, but there's so much of it that, like, whatever, that probably is like the wide as a lake, deep as a puddle thing.
Yeah.
Where maybe this is absolutely that. It's like incredibly shallow, it seems like, in some ways, but there's just a lot in it. And there's something about that that's just like scratching some itch where I understand that it isn't, that it has, it's massively flawed and so idiosyncratic that it is completely you taking, like, either submitting yourself to what this game is presenting itself as, or you're like maybe completely lining up with it, or you immediately bounce off it. Does that make sense?
No, it does.
There's a lot of. And yeah, I really want to finish it before properly saying whether it's
absolutely
anything about it.
Me too. I think I should say visually it's incredible. It might be the best
fucking
designed.
Crazy. It looks so,
like,
good.
In terms of the art direction as well, I think it might be the best designed game I've ever played. I love it. Just everything, the fonts, the lighting, the neons, like
the sounds, all the just sounds, like the little little noises that your machines will make.
The little sound when the Die Hard man like talks to you and he gives you a new piece of information while you're on the, you know, on foot.
Oh,
the
your
little
phone going off or whatever.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Even those little, the noise you get when you get the likes. By the way, like, we haven't really described what this game is and it might be incredibly confusing to her, but you get these little social media likes as some form of, I don't even know if you can can buy anything with it, currency. You get them. It's like a score almost. Mm. And it just makes this little noise that is really like, holy shit, that is satisfying for some reason.
Yeah.
So if you are at this point, obviously we're not spoiling it. The game is like, hey, it's post-apocalyptic. You're a courier and you get a mission to save the world. Basically,
you've got to travel the continent to bring together the United States of America, which is now no longer the United States of America.
It's Vietnam.
Delivering the packages and shit. Yeah, the opposite.
Yeah. It's I think visually it's fantastic. It's very. I don't like a lot. There's actually a lot about the themes and the story that I want to talk about when I've played it more and when we've all played it more. Because I think that's the most interesting thing about it is that it is an actual genuine work of art with flaws and foibles and elements that I think are worthy of picking apart. There's a lot about the themes that seem to me very shallow, but it's like, hey, at least there are themes in there.
Yeah.
And it could, I'm giving everything the benefit of the doubt at this point that like, so as an example that I don't believe is particularly spoilery, you're like a computer thing that is your menu and everything is a pair of handcuffs that are social media handcuffs, basically, and they're called cufflinks. And they're just literally, it's the most on the nose metaphor. It's not even a metaphor.
No, isn't it?
Meta one.
All of the stuff that I'm kind of thinking about and not sort of specifically, you know, calling out because there's A, so much of it, and B, I don't want to ruin it for people who haven't played it yet. It's all like, it's not a symbol, it's just literally saying the thing.
But if you just pack 800 of them into the one thing, is that then kind of fucking cool? I'm enjoying that. Do you know what I mean?
I agree with you. Yeah, even in this early stage, I'm agreeing with you. And it's weird because it's like such a unique position for a creator to be in where like I've not even really played any Kojima games before, but I'm certainly coming to it with a lot of like, okay, you got to give this a bit of leeway because it's the great man. Like for someone to have built up such a like persona outside of the actual work that what you're bringing to it as someone who knows anything about him is like, okay, there's going to be, the characters are going to have dumb names and it's going to be just riddled with all this kind of dumb shit. And it's like weirdly like that stuff coming up that if you were playing something by whatever, like a committee or you didn't really know anything about the development team would rub you the wrong way. But because you know it's him, you can kind of have this weird smirk of like, he's done it again.
Yeah. The fact that people are surprised that they're called like Die Hardman and stuff like that, when it's like, oh, you mean the writer of Solid Snake and Big Boss?
I mean,
maybe
that's
called
that's,
someone a dumb name.
That's fair to, I mean, like, yeah, maybe I wouldn't have played this game if I didn't co-host a podcast about games. But also, like, you know, Tarantino is a very unique, singular character who can rub people the wrong way or people can love him. But, and he's very, he's himself as a person is reflected in his films and is almost visible in his films, sometimes literally. But you still got to judge the films on the films, right? Like if he makes a boring movie or a movie we didn't like, which we did talk about, you don't just go like, bloody Tarantino, it's classic him.
I think you can do a bit of both though. Yeah. Like you can separate it, but then you can have it as part of like this person makes fascinating stuff because they're a weird person. And like there's interviews with him about this game where he's just going like, yeah, it's about loneliness because sometimes I get lonely. It's a thing that happens with video games a lot, so I just put it like he is just flat out saying this is as all as on the surface as it seems, but there's something, I don't know, that if you just switch off. Not even switch off, if you submit to it.
Yeah.
And you just go like, this is what was intended and it's meant to be just like bludgeoning you over the head. Literally characters say again and again and again, we need to come together as a people or else we won't survive.
We need to be reconnected.
Totally. They're not masking this in anything. And it's like the chiral network, which is this like internet thing that you're rebuilding across the world, that was part of the reason that it destroyed the world. The internet destroyed the world. Mm-hmm. It's not, again, it's as fucking basic as you can get, but there's 750, I've shortened it by 50 since the last time I said it, of those things where you just like, it keeps smacking you with them.
Yeah.
And then you walk for like an hour between these two places and it's this peaceful, like kind of meditative, just really unique way of doing this kind of open world game that I'm into it.
It's so strange to have these two, this kind of like very bombastic, over the top cutscenes in terms of like everything, like the character names and how everything is presented.
Yeah.
Which then, yeah, in between that, it's just these long stretches of nothing.
Totally.
It's bizarre.
The president's right-hand man wearing a skull mask is right there in his dark black suit being scary, being like, hey, can you deliver this medal? It's so weird.
I mean, like someone said in our Facebook, and you know, whatever, you know, everyone's opinions are valid. I don't want to blow up anyone's spot. But like someone, a couple of people were like saying that they're like the dumb character names, like they don't like that and it takes them out of it. I don't know. I mean, that to me, it's just an example of like what we're saying, like in for a penny, in for a pound. Like that makes it, I mean, that makes it better for me.
Yep.
It's like what you really want him to be called, like, Dr. Thingo, you know, like...
Totally. Why is Die...
Dr. Thingo.
His name is...
yeah, that's a normal name.
His name is Die Hardman because it's hard for him to die.
Man.
How is that any dumber than being named Adam or Tommy or anything? They're all made up at some point.
Right.
Like, I'm not defending it that... I absolutely, completely would sympathize with anyone being completely turned off by this because it is, like, just that singular... like unapologetic.
I just feel though, like,
thing
to be completely on board with everything else that's going on and be like,
yeah,
the names of the thing that turned me off is so funny. Like everything else, like, no man, I believe that this could honestly happen.
Yeah.
These like creatures that are like from beyond the dead. I'm 100%. I buy all of this. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me that someone could become the president of the United States of America with a name like Bridget? I'm out.
I want to make clear as well, because I think this is, to me, the most interesting thing about this game existing is, like, a lot of video game criticism has been up until now more along the lines of, like, you shouldn't buy this. This is a bad product. Or this was a bad investment from this company, so don't do this again. Or, like, you know, the graphics aren't good enough. Like, that's basically the tenor of games criticism up until maybe, you know, 4 or 5 years ago when it started to switch a little bit to being more art-focused. So
there've been spotty bits and pieces in between, but yes, a lot of the rating has been, is this product worth it?
Yeah. I was actually thinking about this last night as I was playing it, like remembering a time of like reading video game magazines where there'd be like the score, the overall score, but then like every category of the presentation would get its own score of like graphics, like sound would always get ranked, which is like hilarious back in the days of like the 64 and like the Mega Drive.
Okay.
It's like everything
that sounds amazing.
Yeah. The bass in that.
But and that's kind of gone now. It's just literally overall,
which is great. So but also like further to that, I think what I want to make clear about my opinion is like obviously it's not that. In that I don't think like I'm not saying don't buy this game. My opinion is not, you know, that it's not an objective quote unquote like product review. It's also I don't think it's just not a review that is determining whether or not the game is good or bad as a game. It's separate to that. This is, and what I really like about it is like, it's just my opinion on this piece of art and whether I enjoy it. This is absolutely not meant to be like, this is bad. I don't think anyone should like it. And here are the reasons why. It's like, cause it's mechanically, it's very smooth. I actually think it plays really, really well. Graphically, it looks amazing. The design's great. All of that stuff, the facial animations, like, that's all big, like, ticks across the board. It's more like, and I think why it's fair to appraise it in this way is, like, he's swung for the fences with an art thing, and and I'm responding to it on an artistic level, you know, like...
Right.
He's tried to make this crazy, obtuse movie/game, and the movie parts I don't like, and I'm bouncing off... For those reasons, because of the writing and the performance, which is, you know, usually something you'd say about a movie or a TV show. It's very complicated, but I actually love playing the game parts. I'm so conflicted about it as well. Like I really like walking around.
Yeah, yeah.
That one thing there about like I think the one maybe objective metric that this could be reviewed up against as well. Is I'm very interested to see if at the end of it I feel like the time was worth investing.
Right.
Because it isn't a 2-hour movie. It does matter if you don't, if this lasts for 60 hours.
Yes.
And at the end I feel flat about it, then that's a problem with it.
Mm.
You know, it's demanding a lot of your time just by the nature of how it's paced,
mm-hmm.
which at the moment I am loving, and it's genuinely kind of relaxing to play. It's really easy to let like 4 or 5 hours go by just playing this. I played like half of that time in just the one session and didn't even notice.
Yeah, right.
Which was really, really cool.
But see, that's that part of it that makes me think, that makes me worry about my longer term investment into it.
Right.
Because I'm interested in it and I do want to keep going, but just knowing for the next, you know, few weeks what I have on and what's coming out and everything, I just I can see myself falling off pretty quickly.
And if
because
this
it's not, you can't just really pick it up and be like, yeah, you know, I'll just blast out. You know, I've been playing little bits of Luigi's Mansion over the last week here and there, and that's like such an easy one to just go, oh, I'll just do a floor. Like, that's probably like a half an hour commitment. That's easy. I know I'm going to get some stuff done. This really does need, all right, clear schedule for the night.
Right.
Mm. I'm in for 2 hours minimum. If I blow out, that's fine. I don't have anything on in the morning.
And this thing is putting its story so much at the front and center that if that ends up being a bit of a sort of
wet noodle
by the end,
yeah.
a wet noodle,
yes,
a floppy wet noodle, if this ends up being like a limp dick of a story by the end.
Yeah, if you have to thumb this in by the end of it.
But yeah, it will recontextualize all of that enjoyable at the time playing time of it,
yes,
because it will be towards nothing.
So that's something like that has already happened for me. A very microcosmic example of that is there's some mysterious shit that's happening with this baby, and you start having these visions. And not to spoil anything, but within 4 hours, they just explain what's happening. They just explain exactly what's happening in very flat monotone from the guy who's doing the voice of the guy who looks like Guillermo del Toro. And it's just like, or maybe it's the other guy. But it
no,
just
I think
sort
it was
of
Guillermo.
He just explains what's happening. It takes away the mystery. And it was honestly 4 hours in, the only thing that was still mysterious in terms of what had been
I've
set
seen
up.
That. I think I've seen that bit. I think I know what you're talking about.
Possibly. There's a few little sequences that it does with the and it, you still don't really know what the memories mean.
Sure.
But you get a very, like, this is the mechanics of why this is happening to
you. Yeah, no, I've had that bit. So that's super early on.
Right. And you get, like, that happens a fair bit. All of this stuff, like the BTs, who are the ghost things with the handprints from the trailers, they end up explaining, even at the part I'm up to, in quite a lot of detail, exactly what these are, why they're here, where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's not a lot of mystery in that world, in that sort of this will be a big reveal and here's what it all means at the end kind of way.
Or in a sort of like here's a big artistic, emotional theme that will not be explained because that's not the point sort of thing.
No.
It's not that either.
No. Well, the through line of the story seems a lot more personal, kind of family and responsibility type of stuff, maybe.
Right, yeah.
But I have no fucking idea. It could twist and turn. it'll change. So I really want to... This is like a preview opinion kind of thing.
Yeah.
A provisional review.
An impressions segment.
Yes.
Hey, it's me, Joe Pesci. Here I am reviewing Death Stranding, you motherfucker.
We both paused because we knew exactly what was coming as soon as you said impressions.
No, you didn't. You didn't. That was perfect comic timing in between the pause. You didn't pause deliberately.
Ben, I
want to finish this. I would imagine that I will try to plow through this instead of playing that Jedi game, which looks good.
Oh, yeah.
I want to finish the Outer Worlds still, but there's something about this where I really want to just get it done.
Yeah.
I will say as well, there is something very Moorish about what I've played and I want to keep playing it despite thinking the story is dumb.
And I hated the story of Metal Gear Solid 5, but then it had just like the little noises it would give you when you finished a mission and just how many there were on the list. And the fact that it was quite fun to do them made me keep going. And this is similar.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Ben. Like, it's truly a unique piece of work in that you can't just go, oh, it's fun. Like, so try it if you like fun.
Yeah,
like, it's you really have to talk about it in this, like, completely different way to how much we talk about games. And, you know, I might fall off it eventually because it's just like asking too much of my time that I don't have. But at the end of the day, I love it because he's, you know, he's gone for it.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
for him.
I think yep. it's satisfying in a way that maybe something like Dark Souls or something was over being fun for me at
right.
this point.
I'm
just
saying,
like enjoyable, peaceful. There's something about it that is pleasant.
My like utopia for us is that a game like this, in the way that we're talking about it, comes out once every 2 months.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, like we get to talk yeah. about this, like we get to talk about movies and stuff like that, because it's I find this such an interesting way to consume entertainment.
Right. There's plenty of games that come out that are like fun and that I enjoy heaps, but there's not really a lot to say about them. I mean, yeah, Luigi's Mansion last week was a great example. It's like, yeah, man, it's just fun. I think you kind of know what you're in for if you've looked at any trailers. It's like there's not really much to pick yeah. apart and like dig into. Like,
there's been a couple that Outer Worlds. I think this will weirdly be a really good game of the year sort of thing, because there were a few things that were like big hitters that got pushed out of this year and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm into it. I want to finish it off and then maybe do like a full-on spoiler chat about it at some point.
Absolutely.
It's also like you truly can't say to anyone, no matter how well you know them, hey, man, I reckon it's worth picking up. Right. I think you might like yeah. it. Like yeah. it almost should just be like it goes up for free. You just get 24. Everyone just gets 24 hours
yeah.
with it for free. Well, like you know what I mean?
Have a look. Yeah, if you're like the least bit interested in any of the trailers and stuff, I reckon you'll be able to find a used copy. And like, because if you look at the trophies right. on PS4, and you know how it shows you the percentages of people who've got them.
Yeah.
The number of people who finished chapter one is like, you know, 92% or something like that
right.
who played the game at all. Number of people who finished chapter two goes down to like 35.
Oh, wow.
It's like there's a pretty sharp drop at this point.
Hard out after the prologue.
It's something like that. So, right. yeah, I think... If it sucks you in, it sucks you in. Mm. But boy, it is really not trying to be particularly fun or like immediately gratifying.
You know what's very funny about it that I noticed early on? It wants to be very immersive in everything.
Yeah.
And that's cool. But then every time a new character is introduced, it comes up with their name, and then it also comes up with the name of the actor who's playing them.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. Like, imagine any movie doing that, which is just like mid-scene, Brad Pitt. Like,
right. That's a very Kojima thing that's been in like all of his games.
Sure, but it's like, that is just so, and I was kind of like, you know what? I'm into it. You know, plenty of times you're in a movie, you're like, fuck, who? I know who that is. If it just like came up mid-movie without you having to IMDb it when you got home,
yeah,
I'd be into that.
In Metal Gear Solid 5, that happened at the...
That's hot, man.
That happened at the start of every mission in Metal Gear Solid 5.
Oh, yeah,
like a TV show would show up. Yeah, Hideo Kojima's name is on the screen for about 20 minutes total in that intro.
He
lists himself as all these different roles. And it's like, well, you could have put them all at the one time, mate.
It's tight. Yeah. His production company logo... I thought that was like the start of the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a weird
Skull Man on the Moon.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, wow, okay.
It's sick.
Good cold open.
And then the silliness is in this in a similar way to the Metal Gears, where it's like first thing I did almost was make Norman Reedus drink 2.5 liters of Monster Energy drink. And that was pretty fun. The branding is so weird with the monster cans. And if you take a shit, an ad for Norman Reedus' motorbike show shows up on the screen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His AMC Let's Ride show, whatever it's called. But then you get a grenade from your shit. So I don't know.
I'm loving this him game's in dope. It so far, by the way.
Yeah.
He's
him
great.
And like Lea Seydoux for the 5 seconds she's been in, it seemed okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of Reedus, but I'm a fan of, I think, the rest of the cast. Oh, not the mum. It's pretty much just the other directors, I think, that I am digging, and the French chick from the start. Yeah,
yeah. The bit of Mads showing up has been.
Oh
nice.
Yeah,
he seems.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
He's
I love Mads
committing to it.
Right.
We're gonna come back to it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, guys. If you haven't tried it, have a go. Don't have a go. We can't really. We can't guide you.
If you haven't tried it, we've clearly explained it in very good detail. You know exactly what the game is.
It's so hard because
it
like,
is. Yeah.
All you're really doing is kind of walking around, or then driving around, and then sort of building roads for where you've driven, and like but it's, there's something about it that's engaging. Like, a fucking, honestly, for about half an hour, I gripped L2 and R2 and pushed forward on the stick, which I've complained about in, like, Tomb Raider and that sort of stuff. But there's something about this where I guess the fact that I know I could be doing it a different way, or I just, I know that it's important for me to get this delivery to this other outpost or something about it.
What is it? I mean,
it's dragging me forward.
It's
and
like
it looks so
nice.
My fears
that I would hate it, and like based on what it sounded like it was, it's exactly that, but I'm not immediately hate. You know what I mean?
There's, like, there's some wind blowing into the microphone, like, you know what, or into the, you can hear wind that is just appealing. There's something about it where it really is made with like such care and dedication, I think is part of it. Like it, they've put so, and in like gameplay terms, I reckon the stealth and the fighting of the mules, like the sort of human enemies and the stealth past all the ghosts is pretty easy once you figure out what you're doing.
Yes.
It's not that much of an ask.
Once you figure it out, it returns the basic gameplay loop to just sort of walking. It's just crouching instead of standing up. But I really do. I like all of that stuff. I like walking simulators generally, especially ones with strong stories. So, look, I mean,
it just remains to be seen if this story will, like, settle into itself, I guess, and whether that kind of cheesiness, I guess, or like, maybe it's a little, it's definitely pretentious. It's definitely less than it thinks it is at this point.
Yeah,
but there's something about it that's engaging that I'm going to see through, hopefully. All right.
All right.
Speaking of long treks.
That'll just about do us. This is a hell of an episode.
Yeah.
Covered a lot of ground.
I have no idea what to say about it yet. We've got to finish it, and then I think we'll probably still not, but everyone's got to decide for themselves, which is impossible to do.
Crazy that it's out. We've been talking about this game on the pod for years now.
Sure.
We thought, there were points where we were saying, it's never coming out.
Yeah, maybe. Metal Gear Solid 5 was like on the first episode, and even by the time that had come out, there were whispers of what he was doing next, I'm pretty sure.
Right.
It was announced like that November maybe at the Game Awards or something like that, is my memory of it.
Him and his mate, Jeff. Yeah.
The celebrity, anyway, the celebrity cameos are fucking weird in this.
I'm glad that we'll be talking about this again next week, because there's so much more that I haven't even brought up that I've written down.
This will be a bit of a Red Dead situation where I think we'll keep coming in on this, much to the chagrin of a percentage of listeners that we'll hear from constantly.
And maybe we'll check it in, but like, I'd like to do just a big summary at the end. Rather than spending too much time on it again and again, possibly. We'll see what happens, but anyway.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, let us know if you're playing it, what you're thinking. Love to hear from you guys always. Let's wrap it up for another week of Filthy Casuals. Thanks for listening.
There's the Bandcamp episode about Rareware is up.
Check that out. Deep dive into the history of Rareware. Lots of interesting stuff in there and a lot of fun stuff in there. There's also the Patreon where you can subscribe to us, give us a little bit of money and get an extra episode every week. If you're in Melbourne, come to my exhibition November the 20th at Bayside Gallery from 6 p.m. It's at 121 Brunswick Street, and then it's on until December the 1st.
And around that date as well, the YouTube channel will be getting a new playthrough of Until Dawn.
Oh, yes.
Not sure of exactly when that'll go up, I guess, yet.
It's going up soon. We've done the whole thing. We played the whole game.
We've played the whole game. And we'll be chucking them up. Yeah, we just got to like edit them together and fix up the audio and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You got to sync up the audio because it records at separate speeds.
Honestly, that's been a real
video
trial.
Content. Who'd have thought that the budgets of cinema went mainly into syncing up audio?
Yeah, why are they even bothering to use that little fucking clapperboard? Clearly does nothing. Still got to sync it up.
You got to slow it down to like 99.82%.
My only issue at this point is I've edited, I think, two of them. My internet's too slow to upload them.
Well, I'll take them off you and do it. We can talk about that later.
filthycasuals.com.au if you want the links to all that stuff. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with more, I guess, Pokemon, I guess maybe a bit of Star Wars.
The Jedi thing.
Yeah.
I'll have played more Death Stranding. I hope I finish the Outer Worlds. There's a lot of games out at the moment.
There are a lot of games out, yeah. It's a good time of year. Thanks for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
the cufflinks are cuffs that link you to other people.
Ah.
He's a genius.
Wow.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.